You're in tune to Chicago's most popular college music radio station, 89.3 is WKKC. This is Focus Talk, the thought-provoking, solution-oriented talk show, daring to make a difference in our communities. We're talking on a regular basis. What are we talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're talking about politics, religion, personal development, education. And then from time to time, we are highlighting positive people who are doing positive things in and around the city of Chicago and abroad. My name is Dennis Snipe. Are you happy right where you are with what you're doing, whether it is your job or personal fulfillment, where you're at, where you're going, your goals? And if you're not, what are you doing to change that? Joining me today is happiness coach Jan Bowen, who will discuss some things with us today that could possibly change your direction and put you on the road to happiness. Jan, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for being a part of today's show. Now, talk to me a little bit about happiness. Now, when you think, or when I think about happiness, you think it's just something that most people are, and if they're not happy, that it's just a minor tweak or a minor adjustment that can be made. Am I on track, or I'm way off?
Well, I don't think you're way off, but, you know, I don't think most people are happy. I think if people were truly honest, and willing to say how they felt deeply, they would admit they're not really happy, because I think there's two types of happiness. There's the pleasure-based happiness of, oh, that was a good time, that makes me feel good, that's pleasurable. And then there's the deep values-based happy, where we feel it in our gut, and that type of happiness comes in the middle of any sort of situation, even in a, you know, a grief-filled situation, a disaster emergency situation. You still can have that kind of experience. And I don't think most people are in that state of happiness.
So now, based on those definitions, can happiness be something that's taught? Can it be learned, or it has to be discovered, or what do you do in order to secure this pursuit of happiness?
I think it's absolutely doable, and I think it's something we can all do for ourselves with a little bit of effort, but not difficulty. I don't think, you know, I say it's not that complicated. That started out as a joke because I used to say it to my friends and colleagues and clients. Not that complicated. And people would roll their eyes and laugh at me. But I think what it takes is really paying attention to what our deep meaning and purpose in life is. And when we connect with that, then we know what brings us happiness despite what is happening in the world. But what it takes to get there is being willing to tune in. And that's where a lot of people, and I'm making generalizations, but it does take effort to do that. You know, it takes a willingness to commit, to take the time and be still in the middle of a lot of hectic activity and quiet yourself and listen enough to pay attention.
So, Jan, riddle me this. Do I already have the tools in my toolbox, in my treasure chest, to be happy?
Absolutely. And I would say most people already are part of the time when they connect with what's already in them. And once you clue into that feeling just once or twice, it's easy to connect with even more often. You know, so for example, if you, Dennis, knew that your deep joy in life was connecting people with their truth, you know, I'm going to put it in those words.
Okay.
Every time you did that, you knew that was your great joy in life. So the world could have all kinds of atrocities going on, but you might put your head on the pillow at the end of the day knowing that you connected a few people in the world in a really good, positive way. And you could end feeling pretty darn good about yourself and the world, despite all the ugliness that was also happening.
So, Jan, what if I have obstacles or impediments that keep me from that particular happiness or even speaking my truth? What do I do then?
I think that is life. You know, we all do. Life is busy. We all have so much on our plate. And that's just the way things are. And that, I think, becomes more so as we go through life. What I believe it takes is clearing the decks and what I call daily practices. I really encourage people to set up specific times and routines to do whatever is meaningful for them personally. You know, there's tons of books and radio shows and videos about do this because this will make you feel a certain way. That's not my style. I think we each have our own way of clearing. But I do believe that everyone needs to clear. So whether it's taking a walk every morning or going for a run every morning or sitting in a chair and looking out the window for 20 minutes every morning by yourself while you clear your own head, or meditating, whatever it takes individually, I think that specific time every day as a deliberate practice is what it takes to clear the outside and tune within.
Okay, so that now that kind of sounds like maybe an action plan. Am I close? Is that right?
Absolutely, and I think it takes an action plan. If you wanted to put a template together, which I really encourage, you know, I think to get to a state of being really clear on, if someone, for example, didn't know what their purpose in life was that made them deeply happy, it would take knowing what their values were, what their purpose was, and then how to create the rest of their life to set it up so that it supported them in doing that in the world. Mm-hmm. Well, that can be pretty, you know, formidable unless you have a way to go about doing that. And that does take an action plan. And so setting up that morning routine, if it's morning that works for you, or afternoon or evening, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's specific. It's very specific.
Now, is there a similarity between being unhappy or being unmotivated, or they're the same, or are they different?
I think it's always based on some kind of fear. I think lack of motivation and being unhappy is always based on a fear. If we tie it back to why am I not doing this, you know, why am I sitting in front of the television eating whatever or drinking whatever and not doing this even though I know I love to do it, it's because of something that's a fear. And that comes back to motivation. So the question always is, what am I afraid of?
Okay. And so we have to be truthful about our fears and then face them or deal with them some sort of way?
Absolutely. And, you know, the funny thing is, it's not like we have to proclaim it to the world and be embarrassed. I think that's what fears are such a humorous thing to me, because when we're afraid of something, what is the fear? That we're going to be embarrassed, that other people are going to laugh at us, that we're going to fall on our face, that we're not going to make it, that we are going to make it? I mean, when you come down to it, if you admit the truth to yourself, what are you risking? You're just risking admitting something. And then, yeah, you might have to do some hard work to make it happen. Well, okay, so what do you risk by not doing that? You know, and you get down to having quite a self-examination with yourself. And if you start there and start unraveling the fears, it's an excellent place to begin looking at how willing are you to really do the effort it takes? Because all it is effort.
So now, Jan, does it matter if my fears are really old, going all the way back to my childhood? Different things that I haven't resolved. Does it matter about the age?
No, not at all. What does matter is if there's some real trauma. I mean, if there's some real wounds and pain and therapy that needs to be healed, absolutely that's going to come up, because that can come in with fears. Mm-hmm. So if there's abuse or trauma or that sort of thing, I don't want to downplay those. And those can be tied into fear, absolutely. But if it's, you know, like the human fears that we all have of fear of performance or not making it or being laughed at or, you know, I don't know, I think I'm supposed to do this in life, but really that sounds like it's a big deal. I'm not that great, or who said that, that kind of thing. No, I mean, frankly, I'm an older woman who has always thought of these things that I want to do as I've gone through life, and I'm still coming up with new ideas. And I work with people at all stages and ages of life who are all doing things that continue to evolve. So I don't believe that we need to stop or should stop at any age. I think, frankly, in our society, if we were to encourage people to stay vital throughout their lifespan, our culture would be healthier.
Now, that's a great point that you bring up, because I'm thinking now that even though that we talk about later on in life, and now that I'm an adult and there are certain things that I want to accomplish and move forward, now, how can I assist my children so that they can stay on the road to happiness, and maybe they are experiencing different issues in school, maybe being bullied or so on and so forth, and keep them on the road of happiness?
I think what it always comes back to is, you know, what our purpose in life is. I think we are intended to have a purpose in life, and that doesn't change, but it does evolve. So with children, they show signs of what they are really, really good at, and they aren't shy about showing and telling it.
Mm.
It changes, but oh my gosh, when parents listen, you can just see these children shine. It's such a lovely thing to see, and I do love when our media highlights it. I'm a sucker for those kinds of shows, you know, wherever they are. I watch them and I think, good on the parents and good for the kids. But I think that's what we can do, not just as parents, but as adults in general. You know, encourage those younger people. Be a mentor to that sort of aspiration. And I think we need to be really careful in our language in general, because language is so powerful, not to discourage people, anybody, when they voice what they'd like to do. When somebody voices what they'd like to do, it's an indication of something deep coming out in their strong desire. So if it's coming out through their words, it means something.
Mm-hmm.
And we are pretty casual in general in our society of, for whatever reason, downplaying things like that. I think it's wonderful when we encourage it instead of downplay it.
So to encourage our youth, as well as encourage people with their ideas, their thoughts, and their hopes, their dreams to go to the next level.
Yeah.
Awesome. Jan, tell me a little bit about Strategic Solutions Services.
It's the company that I have, and I work with individuals and firms, both on an individual basis with the the people, one-on-one, and then in teams, in development teams, and with the company as a whole. And what I like to do is I go in with the company and work with them on their values and their purpose as an organization, and how the principles of the company align with that. I mean, they bring me in on the early stages of their development, so it's nice to, you know, work with them on how that all grows. And then they bring me in to work with their teams, so it's all in alignment. And then we do coaching and team development, and sometimes they have me come in and do speaking to the organization at large so that I can reach a larger group at once.
Great. Jan, give us some closing words.
Anytime there's confusion or you're overwhelmed or you have a question about anything, I think we all have the answers that we're looking for, and all it takes is closing out the outside confusion, quieting yourself, and calming to listen to the wisdom you already have within.
All right. Jan Bowen, thank you so very much for your time and for your attention. I appreciate you more than you'll ever know.
Thank you. I very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care now.
You too.